Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the Redockables with Duck and Oz of the Purple Rain.
Howdy, y'all.
Hey, Oz. How are you, man?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Just getting back in the swing of things. Seems like there's literally no cases of coronavirus in Western Australia.
We have one new one today.
One new one today, mate?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, man, that sucks. I'll just look up. I've got Sneakers McGowan. He's like my number one follow on Twitter, mate. Number one search. What do we got? Oh, 7 active cases, and 2 of those are in hospital. 1 new case today. Oh, well, mate. But, yeah, man, it seems like there's going to be no footy in WA. Anyway, mate, we've just seen news on Twitter that the AFL has made it that no AFL-listed players will play in the second-tier competition. So Peel Talk is R.I. Peel, I guess, mate.
Yeah.
It's done. Rest in Peel.
Peeled off.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, it's peeled off. We've unpeeled it. So, yeah, a bit of a weird one because obviously significant impact on the Waffle and all the second-tier competitions. And you'd assume that, I guess, the understanding is that no second-tier competitions would take place then, potentially. But maybe we'll wait till segment 3, mate, because I've got an idea for the Waffle.
If we're gonna
put a hard border down, I've got a hard border idea.
Yeah, mate.
And, yeah, involves sticking it up the VFL, mate.
I've got an idea for them. Don't worry about that.
Oz, well, the Redockable episode, round 21 versus St Kilda, a.k.a. the J-Lo game. Apologies in advance, guys, for the quality of the bloody video. It was pretty terrible.
Mate,
like,
I
struggled to watch it. And then the last quarter, because the last quarter's on a separate AFL YouTube thing where they play the whole last quarter, I'm like, man, why can't the AFL, like, this is a game from 2005 that I'd suggest limited people would really care about. So, like, why not release the vault? Like, let everyone watch all the old games. Like, why are you holding it back? Like, there was a little bit of a sniff from America. Like, everyone wants to watch old games, so why limit it? I know they've got to make money, but, you know, like, keep the popularity going. Like, you set it up so you can get ads and YouTube and stuff like that. Like, just give the access to the people.
I honestly thought there was something wrong with my glasses. I'm like giving them away.
Mate, I really struggled for a long time and I was like, oh yeah, like that blur.
Who is that guy? Yeah, he's 22.
Once it went to the last quarter, I put the link on our Facebook to the last quarter and it was just refreshing to watch that whole last quarter. But mate, the Fremantle Dockers, Ham, before the 1 minute review,
oh, yeah.
It was round 21 against St Kilda, 2005. Frio Dockers 12-8-80 defeated St Kilda 11-9-75. And Oz, I'm going to get the stopwatch so I can do. Have you got the music or are you going to go with this music?
This is Frio music.
Frio music?
Just keep it going, mate.
All right, hang on. Let me ring that up. All right, I'm going to see if I can do.
As long as I can drag this out.
No, put the Thunderstruck on, mate.
Are you on the Thunderstruck?
Change it. I need some pumped up music.
All right,
because I've got 1 minute to win it.
This one.
It is. Okay, guys, what happened in this game? Well, Freo bounced out the blocks. They kicked the first 4 goals, I think. I think Sandy drops a mark, and they kicked the first goal. But then we kicked the next 4. Then St Kilda essentially gained control and go on a 10-goal-to-3 run. Then their injuries take toll. Penny gets injured. Maguire gets injured. Cozzy gets injured. The G-Train gets injured. We managed to score 5 goals from free kicks from the umpires. The Wiz just misses M-Car right at the end. McFarlane tackles Peckett out of nowhere. Kicks it to J-Lo, who's been playing down back most of the game. He takes a mark. And as they like to say, mate, the rest is history. And that was with 20 seconds to go, mate.
Good stuff, mate.
So, yeah, pretty big summary there. But, Oz, let's get into some... let's get into the teams, mate. Before
okay,
you
teams.
Do
okay, yeah, the GDU, teams.
If you can read out this team, mate. And it's a pretty bloody good team.
Oz, yeah. So I asked you this question at the beginning, and I said, having a look at this team, how is it possible that we did not finish higher on the ladder?
Yeah.
Sensational team. Here we go. Heath Black, Josh Carr, Matthew Carr, Brum Brum, Troy Cook, Ryan Crowley, Stephen Dodd, Jeff Farmer, Anthony Grover, Paul Hazelby, Justin Longmuir, Luke McFarlane, Paul Medhurst, David Mundy, Shane Parker, Matthew Pavlich, Brett Peake, Graham Polak, Aaron Sanderlands, Byron Shammer, Jared Schofield, interesting with the tat, Scotty Thornton, a.k.a. the Vampire, and James Walker.
Mate, great team. And
can I just...
The Wiz?
I loved his hair.
But,
that's got to be the good, surely.
mate, the Wizard's hair. I can't say I was a massive fan of long-haired Wizard. I think I like the short hair.
Okay.
I don't know, man. I always think of him in the long sleeve at Melbourne as my all-time favourite as a guy from Tambell up. And, you know, man, like I did love him at the Dockers, but I guess the long hair was pretty awesome. It was good. Whatever he was wearing in 06, mate, whatever he's wearing in 06.
Oh,
hey,
God.
Oz, let's get on to some GBD, mate. The good, mate. The bad, and the Dockery, because I've got a couple of things I want to talk about in this game. Good for a start. Look, Hazelby's pretty elite in this game, mate. No Bell, and really stood up against a pretty packed midfield of Harvey, Ball, Del Santo, who was the other guy who's a good midfielder for him? Not Goddard, but yeah, those three are pretty good midfielders anyway. So really, really good stuff. 31 disposals, 7 marks. Dominated without Bell. And look, I just thought he played a really good game. And you forget how good Hazelby, although he was not the most athletic and he didn't even look athletic, didn't look like much of a footy player. Geez, he knew how to get the ball and geez, he was smart. And, you know, Oz, he's kind of like something that we've really gone away from, like an actual smart footy player. And he's, you know, like I know he didn't have left and right foot like Sam Mitchell, but he's a Sam Mitchell type. He just gets the ball.
Yes.
And he just knows where to kick it, knows where to put it. You know, and he's developing a pretty good relationship with the big Sandy as he went along. Look, mate, Grover, thought he did a fantastic job, mate, on Hamill. Hamill was really limited, and he ended up with 19 disposals and 10 marks himself. So, mate, Grover off the halfback even, like not even as big as what he was, you know, a bit skinnier and a little bit more mobile and looked really good. McFarlane and Pav both kicked 4 goals each, and they were very, very solid. A lot of soft free kicks, but we'll talk about that later in the Dockery. Sandilands dominated around the ruck, but around the ground he was pretty average. But he's kind of growing. He's played 50 games, but Sandy, you can see he's bulking up. He was the heaviest player at the time, but you know that kind of middle ground of Sandy's career where he couldn't mark it.
Yes.
And he has that cat 10 mistake at the start, and we'll talk about that in the
Dockery. 35 hitouts,
mate. J-Lo. Great around the ground, and the goal at the end, mate, just comes out of nowhere, really. Oh, like, and actually, Oz, you could argue that we kind of fell away a bit once J-Lo went out of the back line and into the ruck, and it was a very interesting move to continue to take Sandilands off, move J-Lo, and then Polak would have to move across, Thornton would have to move across, and it just changed the whole dynamics of the back line. And, you know, Connolly, I'm going to be fairly critical on Connolly in our second segment. But, you know, the idea, put McFarlane up forward, put J-Lo down back. Mate, J-Lo looked like he could have played down back for the next 5 years, mate. If it wasn't for the knee injury, man, he looks really good, really calm head.
Composed,
just guides
around.
Now, is that maybe he's playing a little bit loose in defence, the old cloak roll, the old Cameron Cloak and Jason Cloak roll, but, you know, which everyone looks good at. But I think, you know, he was pretty damn good, J-Lo. And to bob up at the end and kick the goal, man. And, like, when you look at that, it looks like it's going to be Pav all over. And just J-Lo comes from the side and just like plucks it out of his hands, boom, goes back. And I think his quote at the end was, all that was going in my mind was just kick it straight. And then he jumps into the crowd and, you know, we've met the guy. He's a pretty mild-mannered kind of dude. You know, he's just a country bloke and he went off. And it's probably one of those things, Oz, that you remember where you were at the time. And I'm going to put this to you, question without notice. Do you remember where you were at the time when J-Lo kicked the goal?
Yes, I was in it's not Southern Stand, Subi side, in the... That's when I used to sit first tier. Bottom ground tier, or whatever you call it.
Are you on
it.
The railway side or the
side? I'm smack bang in the middle.
Oh, Subiaco end.
Yeah, so I'm behind the goals.
Oh, in the three tier stand.
Yeah, but I'm on ground
You're
level.
You're on the bottom tier,
And I'm
so you would have been behind it, mate.
Yeah. No. I'm not behind J-Lo, but I'm at that goal end.
I mean, you're watching the ball go into your goal end.
Yes.
Oh, mate, that would have been pretty exciting.
Yeah, fair to say that I sold myself. Yeah,
fair bit of embraces. Yes. Were you with your brother at the time?
No, mate? I was with a good friend, Lynn. She actually converted me to supporting Frio live in person, as opposed to on the TV. So yeah,
go to the games, mate.
Yes,
I remember I was down in sunny Tambell. I watched the game with my good friend Jeremy Groves. Shout out to him. Just had another kid recently, so shout out to him and Kate. And mate, we embraced like two men can only embrace after watching J-Lo kick the winning goal. We were in our lounge room at my house on the farm. Yeah, it must have been maybe wouldn't have been September. Maybe it was just home for the holidays.
Oh boy.
I don't know what it was. I don't know if we're in school holidays. We couldn't have been.
Now, you've just thrown a question at me. I'm going to throw a question at you, Duck.
Yeah.
Are you telling me, Duck, that just before J-Lo kicks a goal, who's the last person?
I'm assuming it was the Wiz.
Yes!
Did Wiz go and say, kick it in between? Like, the person, unless they're like, all right, now, Oz, this could be a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you never know. It could, just because I'm the careless whisper man, I think he probably says put it between the big sticks. But I think the Wiz, because I've got such a bias towards him, I'm assuming the Wiz would have said, mate, just calm your heart rate, go through your routine.
Yep.
Routine is everything.
Wind's approximately 1 kilometre per hour. Yeah.
Just aim it just aim inside it. That inside post.
Yep.
You know? But when I think the careless, he goes up and he goes, big sticks goal, little sticks point. So between the big sticks. But yeah, mate, is there anything better than a careless whisper? And I'd love to, next time we get a player on the show, I'm going to say, what do people say to you before you have a set shot? What are they actually saying? Or I would actually love to get the careless man, Daniel Pierce, on the show just to say, can you talk us through what you used to say to the guy kicking the goal?
Yes.
Was it good luck? Was it big sticks? Was it calm your breathing? Was it go through your routine? Was it, mate, what are you doing tonight? Get his mind off it. See what's going on.
It's a shame, by the way, we don't do it's not really a shame, but if we had have looked at filming this live, having Daniel Pierce on the show actually improves the look of this particular pod by 100%.
Well, but mate, at the moment, I'm currently wearing a
Hawaiian shirt.
Hawaiian shirt and tracky pants with thongs, mate.
I'm wearing a bright orange hoodie. Yeah. And
what's that, Polytech, mate?
This is Poly High School from the US. We played them in a game of basketball. It gave us a good lesson.
Nice. Mate, any goods for you that I've missed out? Any players that really tickled you? I said Hazelby, Grover, McFarlane and Pav, Sandy and J-Lo. Anyone that you thought stood out a bit more as well?
Can I just quickly go on a tangent?
Yeah.
If you ever thought there was any debate between who is better out of Riewoldt and Pavlich, have a look at this game. And people who try and tell me that Matthew Pavlich, and by the way, a superb tint in the hair, young Matthew Pavlich there, a nice black dye, probably should have gone a little lighter on the shade. It was a bit too hardcore, but he's a young fella and he looked after his image. I appreciate that. But not only did Pav mark, he kicked goals. Nicky Riewoldt could mark and run anyone around like a marathon. Absolute champion of the game aerobically. But he wasn't a straight kick as his career progressed, Duck.
Yeah, well,
Matthew
mate,
Pavlich on
all
the
way through, he was unreliable as a shot set shot.
The beginning he was okay, but then tailed off very quickly.
Yeah.
So don't try and tell me that Nicky Riewoldt is higher on the food chain in terms of, and this goes back to the, was it Jack Carrington-Jones' question, the 22 Pavs v 22 Nicky Riewoldts?
Oh, yeah.
Mate, don't tell me. Pav just gave him the big old schooling, mate.
Yeah.
There was. Did you see the one passage, if I finish on this, Duck?
Yeah.
And it was at a crucial point where Pav kicks this goal, and it's 2-on-1 including Riewoldt, and they back into him. Pav just outmarks them both, and then Riewoldt almost squirts some and then complains that he pushed him. No, he didn't touch it or push him out, mate. He's just better than you. Cop up.
Mate, do you – like, this is the other thing that I found quite interesting. So I was listening to the podcast called Sacked on the weekend, or it might have even been, with Brendan Goddard, and he was saying apparently, well, the rumour is that if people didn't kick it and it hit Riewoldt on the chest, he would kick the ball over the fence and be like, go get that, kick it, hit my chest. And you actually see, man, the St Kilda players hit him on the chest on the lead a fair few times. Now, I've seen Matthew Pavlich in his 370-odd games however many he played. How many times does he actually get hit on the chest?
Five.
Maybe five, maybe 10. Like,
Fletch,
how many times is the ball like over his head? He's have to back into a pack. It's kicked on top of his head, so he's had to out-muscle someone. I mean, Riewoldt's getting silver service.
Yeah.
And it's fair to say Pavlich was never. No. So, mate, I would have to say Pav's always going to beat Riewoldt, mate. And you know what, Riewoldt? The knock on the shoulder always made me not like Riewoldt. The crying?
Yeah, look, I disregard that, really. I mean, that's just it is. But you know what? I mean, you could just tell when Hayes had the ball and we're streaming forward, Pav leads out. He's got that glint in his eye that I'm going to get hit on the boob here.
That's it.
Then.
All right, mate. Just to some bad.
Go.
Wiz and Medhurst both had a stinker.
Mm.
You know, look, Medhurst, like we've always talked about, he got too big, mate.
Yeah.
Too much time in the gym and just got too big, and he's trying to lead up and out muscle people, and you know, he really just had to go back to his origins, which is sniffing around some feet and kicking some goals, like staying in the cage, mate. Medhurst's got to be in the cage, and a bit smaller, a bit skinnier would have done the job rather than putting on the bulk and slowing him down a bit. And the Whiz, mate, Stevie Baker did an absolute number on him, and I know him and Stevie Baker had some great battles.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know they didn't particularly like each other, I think. Whiz might have got, he might have smacked Whiz in the head and got a couple of weeks. Or
yeah,
there
was a game.
Same.
I was actually
there's
listening to
a couple of
a,
suspensions.
Yeah, I was listening to a pod recently with Stevie Baker.
It was
and,
the sack pod again. Yeah.
And yeah, basically.
What did Milne say? He said when Stevie Baker had the free kick, he thought Whiz punched him. That's why he got the free kick. He's like, oh, I thought Whiz had punched him. I was like,
no.
Thanks, Milne. And don't tell me Milne's better than Whiz, mate.
Oh, no.
Don't give me that tripe.
No way.
Yeah, you got to be
give
kidding me.
A break.
Mate. Polak, good with the ball, couldn't do anything good without the ball,
yeah.
But could not do anything with the ball, mate. And
he's one of those guys that looks like a fantastic footballer and until he gets the ball in hand.
Oh, man, some of the stuff.
Mm.
Mate, the midfield had no defensive run, and I don't know whether that was the time or the coaching. Like, what was it just the era that no one ran back and no one ran hard back, or there was no defensive pressure, but pretty poor stuff there. Mate, Walker tagged Harvey, as we know, and Harvey managed to have 25 disposals and kick 3-1. So, yeah, good job there.
Choo-choo!
Mate, the umpiring are very undockery.
I know!
Mate, 5 goals... from the umps, and they're all soft.
Now, this
they
is,
were all so soft.
This is my question.
Mm.
If we had this type of West Coast Eagle treatment with umpires, and yes, I've got the one eye patch on here. I've got the eagle patch on. I'm not booing, but if we had this treatment week in and week out, what could have been?
Oh man!
I mean the actual inside 50 free kicks. Inside 50 free kicks.
Yeah.
Unheard
and
of.
Like, real soft. Like, now you had your arms around. Like, what? It's just a marking contest, mate. Like, those 5 free kicks, mate, they are all. Even Farmer gets a free kick holding the ball.
Yes.
And he punches it out of Goddard's hand. So, not really holding the ball. So, look, I mean, McFarlane gets a couple of real soft ones. Pavlic gets a couple of real soft ones.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it was pretty grim. And I know they were probably outmatched and they were bigger than them. So the pressure comes from that. But I tell you what, we got a good run with the umpires.
Mate. Oh, it was amazing.
Very good run with that. I was like, what is this game, mate? Have we got this in a time capsule? Is this what they play in the umpires' rooms in terms of before a Freo game? They're like, don't give them too many soft ones. Because remember that time back in 2005 on a Friday night, we gave them heaps of soft ones.
But it's also, if you can recall, during the week, I believe there was heavy criticism on the umpires from Thomas.
Yeah.
And every time there was a free kick, they'd flash up and he's, you know.
Yeah, or give him, let him off for that one. That was quite interesting. Mate, a couple of dockery things. The first goal, Sandy drops an absolute sitter. That's a cat 10 mistake by Sandy. Polak kicked it straight into the man, another cat 10, dodged around someone, then kicked it straight into Del Sando. I think that was for their second goal. Medhurst, mate, takes a mark, and then the umpire calls play on. So he gets pinged holding the ball, which is always, the umpires usually blow the whistle straight away, now ball it up. No, holding the ball. Medhurst gives him a mouthful, 50 metres. I think they kicked a goal from that as well.
Yeah.
Mate, Dermy defending Scotty Thornton's deliberate, which is... like, in this day and age, the most deliberate thing I've ever seen
that's
in my life.
What
and Dermy's like, no, there's someone next to him, so it can't be deliberate. I was like, man, like, how the times have changed. Gary Lyon's like, mate, you're an idiot. Like, I think, you know, you look back then, you're like, man, Dermy sucked back then. How's he still got a job? He's so funny. Luke McFarlane misses a goal from about 10 metres out and then kicks the most mongrel bender from 50 out and it bends
the other way,
mate. Parker playing knuckles with the G-Train, I found very dockery as well. Like, only... And then, you know, actually, this isn't too much dockery, mate, but I miss Doc Larkins. Doc Larkins is great
the commentary
on the bench.
On the side, yeah.
Mate, and how many times did he make a mistake with what was wrong? And then he go, oh, actually, I was speaking to the Meadow, goes, it's not a groin, it's his hamstring. Or he's like, oh, Kaczynski's done his calf, comes off, he's
quad.
Got quad. It's like, oh... okay, well, all right, the doc. Hey, Oz, just quickly before we go to a break, let's get into these mixed teams.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I just comment on the G-Train? I don't think
the G-Train, mate. Let's talk about
him. I just don't think we've given him enough credit here because he is his own force, the mullet, the brute strength.
He's a big boy.
the way he was just able to out-muscle players and stuff, and I guess the game, the way the game was played was changing rapidly and, you know, fast becoming out of date, you know, whatever. But having a key forward like that and just he either marks it or brings it to ground.
Mate, how good would have the G-Train been on the Dockers sides? Because literally the whole point is bomb it into G-Train.
Yeah.
He doesn't lead much. He's got a little burst of lead, but his strength means that he can win one-on-one competition. Now, the G-Train probably in this day and age would be beaten because of third man up, man cuts off, intercepts. That'd always be the thing, right? Get in front of the G-Train, come back and help out Parker or whoever would be on him. But I mean, like, if you flip those teams and the G-Train's on the Dockers, mate, he would be kicking thousands of goals, mate. Because we just bomb it into him. And like, I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Is that, you know, the like Fraser Gehrig on the Saints, they don't really, like, this is where the coaching I thought was so poor. It's like, all right, they lose it. They put Revolt in the back line, to me, is just like the stupidest idea anyway, because you've got to win the game. You can't just, can't just not win it.
Yep.
So they put Revolt in the back line, stupid decision. Then they're like, all right, we'll just, like, the entry should have been like, let's just get it into G-Train. Let's get it in as quick as we can. You don't have to kick it in front of him. Just kick it near him.
Yep.
And he's going to out-muscle Parker because he's got about 40 kilos on him.
Yep.
And Parker's,
or cop a free kick, maybe.
Or get a free, yeah, or potentially get some soft free kicks. And, you know, G-Train probably should have got one soft one that they didn't pay. But, you know, like, I just thought the coaching on both sides was average.
It was pretty average. Now, something again on G-Train, a good mate of mine, shout out Murphy, going, his brother, Shauno, was a PT down at Brighton gym, and G-Train used to frequent the old gym post St Kilda stuff. So he'd do his work at St Kilda and come down and bench him, you know, pump some weights,
keep going.
Just keep going. He goes, his form was abhorrent, but the amount that he was lifting was redonkulous.
Mate, do you want to hear another G-Train story?
Here we go.
G-Train, mate, so when I was in, my brother was in year, must have been in year seven, he won the GWN Country Footballer, Junior Footballer of the Year. Now, I need to ask my mum and dad how he got nominated. I don't even know how he got nominated, but he won the whole competition, right? Sticks, not the world's best footy player, just an honest country footy player, you know? G-Train came down, he was at the Eagles at the time, and Barry Cable. And G-Train, mate, was the biggest human being I'd seen in my life at that stage. And he wasn't like on the main list. He was on the main list, but he was just like he was a rookie.
Yeah.
But he was a behemoth of a man already. You know,
it's
unbelievable.
It's interesting that he didn't quite, you know, reach his potential at the Eagles. I don't know, they were trying to find out where he was, but you know, obviously he becomes this brute of a guy down at St Kilda.
Yeah.
And he showed glimpses in, you know, that spin move and all that sort of stuff. That's part of his highlight reel. But interesting, mate.
All right, mate, quickly on to the mixed teams, okay? This is the Bahundi Williams mixed teams. Who would make it into the best 22 but with the mixed teams, mate? And mine is very much 2005 Dockers, mate.
Yeah.
But you go first. You name your whole team and then I'll name mine, mate.
Well, they're all out of position because I just try to squeeze them in where possible. So it's a bit out there. But back line, I've got Hamling, Parker, Grover. And then halfback, I've got Ryan, McFarlane, Wilson. Centre line, I've got Hill, Fife and Black. And then half forward, I've got Medhurst, Pavlich and Farmer. Even though both of them are around donuts, that's Medhurst and Farmer. Like, I'd take both of them. They were just fantastic players. Forward, I've got Sonny, Lobb and Longmuir. So I've gone for height.
Yeah.
And then the followers, I have Sandy, Hazelby, and Mundy. Cop that if you don't mind. And then the interchange, I've got Josh Carr, who's a bit stiff not to start because I thought he played a great game. And along with Paul Hazelby, by the way, one of the best-looking one-handed runners with the football. Just, you know, loves to run it with one hand. Cook and Thornton.
Nice, mate. I've gone Ryan, Grover, Hamling, Thornton, Polak, Mundy. Young Mundy, that is, on the halfback flank. Black, J Carr, Hill, Sonny, McFarlane at centre half forward, M Carr, Farmer, Pav, Medhurst, Sandy, Hazelby, Fife.
Oh boy.
Lobb, J Lo, Brayshaw, and Cook on the bench. Yeah. Rounding off my team, mate.
Yep.
So good mixed team. Hey, Oz, let's go to a break. When we come back, we've got the 2005 season as a whole. We'll have a chat about that. And I've got some Chris Connolly hot takes, mate.
Oh, here we go.
Welcome back to episode 6 of The Redockables. We're looking at 2005. So we jumped a couple of years ahead, guys. 2005, Chris Connolly is the coach. Peter Bell's the captain.
Who was missing on the day?
We've made a final in 2003 with quite a good side. We've gone 11-11 in 2004, and we've gone back to 11-11 in 2005, mate. Some interesting stuff. All-Australian Matthew Pavlich, the only All-Australian for that year. I think he kicked like 30 goals in the last five matches they were talking about. Had a real hot run towards the end of the year. Troy Cook, the best clubman. Mundy wins the Beacon Award. Pav, the leading goal kicker with 61 goals. Mundy, a rising star, round 14 versus Port Adelaide, and ends up coming third to Delidio and Ryan Griffin. So I'd actually say Mundy's better than both those players, wouldn't you, Oz?
Yeah, each year he's a bit stiff not to win the rising star.
Yeah, but I mean, he was... Yeah, shout out to the Doker. Yeah, every year. I mean, how he hasn't won the rising star year after year. He's so young. But the Doig, mate, Pav, Bell, Parker, Black, Hazelby, Thornton, Farmer, Grover, J-Lo, and Luke Mack, mate. And
how Hayes doesn't finish in the top two?
Yeah, I mean, he just has games where he's... I mean, when Bell plays, I think they're a bit similar. You know, they were similar players.
I actually agree with that. And there's some of the things I was just watching this game. I'm like, do we underappreciate the impact of Hazelby because he wasn't a flashy midfielder? He was just really smart, calculated, did what he had to do, but he didn't have the burst of pace like a Jard and stand out like an Ablett. But he was just as critical in what we were as a football club.
I think as well, the thing with Hayes, he'll go down as like probably the Dockers' greatest ever derby player, which is kind of like our big game man. So maybe he is like the, you know, the best big game player. But I mean, the thing with Hayesby as well that you forget is that he started like a bloody German marching band. He just continued his whole career. Mate, his first game, he gets 30 touches and kicks 2 goals. And he just continues that throughout his whole career. And I think it's a bit of an underappreciated career. I'm really devastated how it just like stopped in 2010.
Yeah.
You know, he pretty much got forced to retire through injury. And I would have loved him to play that final.
Oh.
You know, at halftime, I got really G'd up when he was walking around giving it the fist. Yeah. But, I mean, he's become a pundit and, you know, he's a good man, Paul Hazelby, mate. I know he went up and played at Northampton with his brother and stuff like that. So, you know, he wants to give back and he was at South Freo. And, you know, that's the thing that annoys me. He's at South Freo. He's telling the Dockers, you know, Tim Kelly, you know, Marlon Pickett, these guys are good players. You should get them. And Hayden Schloyth, I mean, Schloyth, yeah. But, you know, what do you do there? Mate, look, I've got to ask you this question, mate.
Go.
This team going 11-11,
yeah,
and in my opinion, it is pretty devastating. And even in 2004, mate, so we make the finals, we go 11-11, then we go 11-11 again. Mate, if you look at the guys who played throughout the whole year, Black, Carr, Hazelby, Medhurst, Parker, Pavlich, Thornton, Longmuir, Cook, Farmer, Grover, McFarlane, Bell, Sandilands, Mundy, Dodd, Schammer, Hedlund, Polak, Carr, Walker, Crowley, Johnson, Webster, Murphy, Schofield, Peake,
yep.
McManus,
yep.
Smith,
yep.
Seagate, Woods, Hadrill, yep. Dunn, yep. and Gilmore, mate.
Yep.
And like, got in that game, we had 12 guys who had already played 100 games. You're looking at Parker, Schofield, Black, Hazelby, Pavlich, J-Lo, Farmer, Cook, Walker, Bell, Josh Carr, and Matthew Carr. You know, we had 6 guys who'd already played 50 games. We ended up having these guys who are club legends.
Yeah.
You know, man, like if you look at
played under that time. Yep.
Well, like if you look at our 25 and 25, majority of those guys played during that time. You know, so you've really got to think, Oz. You've really got to look back and go, all right, 2006.
16-9.
We make a prelim.
Yep.
Okay. But the rest of the time, mate, it's abhorrent underachieving under Connolly.
Yeah, look, I agree.
And Connolly's coaching, man, like, I was talking to my brother about it, and he's like, mate, he was just a spruiker. He wasn't much of a coach. And, like, the coaching's actually pretty terrible if you look at that. And you look at that team, and, mate, I'd go as far as saying it's like the 05, 06, even the 04, 03 teams are all more talented than the teams that from 13 through to 15. You know, 12, 13, 14, and 15 – I think those teams don't have a sniff on, you know, 3, 4, 5, and 6. You know, like you look at that talent, mate. The small forwards are much better. Like Medhurst and Farmer are just better than Ballantyne. You know, guys like Mzungu, there's better players. You know, you got Shammer and Walker and players like that instead of Pierce and Mzungu and things like that. And Sandilands, yeah, he's probably better as he's older. But, you know, McFarlane in 06 is at his peak. Pavlich in 05 and 06 are at their peak. You know, Hazelby's at his peak. You know, you're looking at Hazelby and Bell versus someone like a Fife, you know, and a Subin and something like that, you know, in the midfield or, you know, Mundy's obviously a lot better as a midfielder in those later years. So, look, there are the pros and cons, but, man, I really think, Oz, you've got to break the Dockers into three periods, okay? Period one is Jared Neesham and Damien Drum, where they, and even Damien Drum, actually, no, I won't, Jared Neesham. And Jared Neesham, as much as he was great with his tacticians and stuff like that, his non-belief in the draft absolutely kills us. And you can go back and look at everything, but it just murders us. Then you've got, so Phil Smart's in that regime a bit, but then you've got Phil Smart under Damien Drum and Chris Connolly. Mate, Phil Smart, I always thought, and it might have been the echo chamber of my old man, Phil Smart, mate, how did he lose his job? He picks so many good players, rookie-listed players, first-rounders, second-rounders, third-rounders, mate. He gets so many good, talented players into that club, mate. And Connolly can't develop him because he's a spruker. He wants to get the club up and about. He's not an actual tactician. Then you've got the Brad Lloyd and, you know, Lyon. And you can see it now, mate. The reason why, and the last draft, I'm pretty sure the last draft Phil Smart did was like 09. Or 10. It might have been the one with Fife. It might have not been. I can't remember. I think it was the one with Fife, and then he left the Dockers. But Brad Lloyd's come in, and you can say what you want about Brad Lloyd, but just go back and have a look at the draft, mate. He's made terrible pick after terrible pick. First rounders, Tommy Sheridan, Jaden Pitt, bloody Aptness. You know, even if you're looking at guys now, like, how's Logue going to go? How's Chera and Brayshaw going to go? How did, like, you know, and there's been so many players that seem to be better than those blokes. You know, I probably can't say Chera and Brayshaw and Chera and Brayshaw under Lloyd. I don't know. Had he already left? But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like our recruiting is in three sections. No draft, which is just mental. Draft under Phil Smart, which is really good. And then draft under Brad Lloyd, which is just not great. And it's the reason we're in where we are now. But the problem was is that Neesham's a good coach. Drum and Connolly are not good coaches. Harvey's all right, but then Lyon is a great coach. So, you know, we've never had that really good coach, really good recruitment, really good footy operations, you know, everything being in there. And I'll take a quote off my brother. He's like, what do you say? You've got to get all the people on the bus for a start. So get all the experts in there for a start, then decide where the bus is going. So we need the best people down at the club. And, you know, you hear Ross Lyon speak and we're already handicapped, mate, because Victorian players have no interest in coming to the Dockers. You know, you listen to Brendan Goddard's on the Sacked. What do you say? He goes, Brad Lloyd, I was good friends with him. Ross Lyon, he's the best coach I've ever had. They offered me more money than anyone else and I said no for a start. So he knew he got more money than what he got. He got offered more money than what he got at Essendon, and he knew that was a starting point, so he could have got even more money. Yet he still chose not to come to Western Australia.
Same with Cale Hooker.
Mate, Cale Hooker, that was a loyalty thing.
Shout out to
Alex Rance, don't get him. Mate, old mate, Frawley. Ross just got there and was like, oh, hey, mate, sip the old coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, mate, you're just trying to bust up the price. Yeah. Cloak, never really interested. Revolt, never really interested. All these guys are using us for leverage. So, I mean, we're not like a West Coast Eagles where they have got the prestige, they've got the history, they've got the recognition. We're the other team in Western Australia, which is a massive hindrance already.
Well, I think now, just to give you a bit of a break there, mate, I think now is, you're so right in what you're saying. I think the recruitment has to be bang on in order to give us the best opportunity to move forward. And it can't just be the coach. And I think I certainly have been at fault in the past going, oh, you know, coaching isn't this or it's not that, because, you know, as a passionate supporter, it's results driven. But you've got to go behind the scenes. And I think more so in our pods, probably going, you know, back 3 or so years now, you know, we've been saying that it has to be a whole club investment.
Yeah.
And we have to look at recruitment, because you can only coach who you've got in front of you. And I think that's really important that we take that into consideration. There's more to it than just seeing someone play on the weekend and some highlight tapes. You've got to have a look at what are you trying to build with this group? Where are your strengths? Where are your weaknesses? And rather than necessarily going with, We're going with the best pick, best player at that pick. Have a look at your deficiencies. Have a look at where this team can be going forward, because you can't rely on players potentially coming in. I mean, look, we've had a great run at trying to get WA players back.
Yeah.
But that's, you know,
that costs you, mate. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. And going back to what you're saying there, I mean, if you look at those coaches, you know, in those runs, Neesham's best run, 10 wins in a season. Like you said, Chris Connolly, 16 wins in a season, sorry, which is 2006, obviously, when we go on that tear towards the end. But I reckon that was more player-driven than coaching-driven.
Yeah.
You know, the players had that
belief. The players
belief.
Were all in their peak,
and that's,
mate.
You know, the Wiz was saying that they believed, you know, when we interviewed him at the 25 and 25, he just thought, that's it, we can beat anyone, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
But then you look at Harvey's best effort was 14. It's not bad, but he's got mediocre in between 6, 6, and 9.
Yeah.
And then obviously Lions run at 15, 18, and then 18 again and 15. But
you've got to say as well, with Lyon, he doesn't have the cattle there a lot of the time. He's just getting the absolute most out of the worker beast.
Yeah.
And then once the talent drops off, because we didn't, you know, oh yeah, we're good, so we're going to get less talented players. But we're still getting picks in the, you know, the 15th, 16th best player in the under 18s, you know. Like, if you miss on that. And then the other thing that needs to be talked about is just everything in terms of, can we actually bring in the best talent in assistant coaches? Can we bring in the best talent for sports and rec?
Yes.
Do we need to develop pure WA talent? Or should we be looking and saying, look, we're a WA side. Let's be WA based. Let's get the best WA talent. And, you know, like I always talk about, and this is my biggest problem, is I'm hypocritical in the fact that I say we should go after WA talent all the time. It should be WA talent first when we draft, because the go home factor is zero. And those guys grow up and they become heroes of WA and of Fremantle. And, you know, like I was very, very confused with, you know, Dylan Roberton and Sarong. Like, Sarong might turn out to be a way better player, and I could, you know, I'll eat my words, and Sarong does look like a good player. But it looked like Roberton and Sarong were pretty similar players. Roberton's from West Australia, Sarong's from Victoria. What's the point? You know, like, we look at Norton, who was in our backyard, Tim English, you know, players like that that we could have picked up, and instead we go for, you know, in Tim English's case, it was Logue, which was good. We picked up a WA player, so that's where I've got to be able to say, I got to back Logue all the way. You know, so we've got to be able to pick up WA talent all the time. But, you know, you look at the core, like we were talking about, what is the core of the Eagles team? Barras, Claremont. McGovern, Claremont. You know, JK, West Australian. I think he was at, I don't know, East Fremantle. You know, Darling, West Perth. You know, you've got Sheed, who's a great player, Nat Nui. You know, all these guys who are good WA players. Shepherd, you know, and they've gone WA strong. And then there's the odd guy here and there that they bring in to fill in the gap, you know, to make the difference. And they're mainly from South Australia. You know, guys that probably won't go home, and they treat them like they are West Australians, you know. So that's the thing. Like, we as much as we don't want to be the West Coast Eagles, they are the you know, the marker at the moment for West Australian clubs and for AFL clubs in general. You know, like, it's pretty grim to say this, but if we were anything like the Eagles, mate, we'd be so successful, you know. But unfortunately, it's got to be, and this is where I hope Garlic, Orcott, Bell and J-Lo get together in this time now. And J-Lo's had a look, Bell's had a look. They've had a look at everyone who's in there. Now, they had a look from Bell to Lyon, from Lyon to J-Lo, and they decided that nothing needed to change except for the CEO and the head coach.
To begin with.
So now, mate, if everyone's gone, now you've got to build up again. We've got to start from the ground again. We've got to start with assistants, good senior assistants, good assistant coaches. Look in the waffle. Who are the talented guys coming up? Who are the guys who actually show a bit of promise and show a bit about them? You know, even that bloke who's from Subiaco, got the Colts team into the flag, and now he's good enough to coach the Subiaco League team, which is nearly like an AFL side. You know, young bloke, forgotten his name. You know, you got to look at these guys who are in the system, in the waffle level, who are good coaches coming up and through, because that's where they got to come from. Because we're not going to be able to get someone to come from Victoria over to WA and to Fremantle, you know, in particular.
And look, interestingly as well, you mentioned the idea of Victorian players not wanting to come over. I think one of the major advantages that we've had for, you know, probably what, 2-3 years now has been the facilities down at Cockburn. But that's fast changing now. Everyone is upgrading all of their facilities. So you need to take advantage of, you know, the comparative advantage that we've got at the moment, which is, of course, the facilities, the Optus Stadium, you know, the the crowds potentially that we can get. The downside to that, obviously, is the amount of travel. I mean, it's clear, it's been made very clear that the AFL has zero interest in that, you know, WA travel, because they don't really care about that. But we know that it's an issue for Victorian players wanting to come over. I mean, you know, just have a look at how many 300-game players that we've got. So I think rather than, and I totally agree with what you're saying, you know, in terms of what we need to do, but I want to be positive and say that on the flip side to that, we have so many positives going right now for Freo. We've got new coach, buoyant attitude, players up and about. We've got a brand new stadium. We've got close to brand new facilities. We've got good people working around in those areas. We just need to get back on board.
Yeah.
And once footy starts and once we see that passion get back on there, you know, we started to see, even through the preseason, we started to see a different system, more attacking, more exciting. I started thinking, I'm really looking forward to going back to the footy, watching an attacking style of footy, getting around it, supporting the players. We're trying to get around the players as well, introduce new boys to the wider audience. It's incumbent upon us as supporters as well to get behind the club too. And I think that's something else that really should be added to that equation, which is obviously the football department, yes, but it's also what we can do to help elevate the club to make it better. Demand nothing but the best.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? And yeah.
You know, and like that, there were, I mean, the amount of comments I saw when Pierce got injured, I mean, man, it baffles me that the only club that gets a major injury during the coronavirus lockdown is the Dockers. You know?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? Like, what are we doing, man? Like, what's going on? Like, I know it's probably on the player. He's in Tasmania, I think. If he's in Burnie, I probably wouldn't be in Burnie. That's like one of the hot spots. I know my mate lives there, but that's where he's from. But, you know, what are you doing, man? Like, what are you doing? Like, and what's going on? And that serious questions need to be asked. And like, we can't afford, and this is the kind of the four prong thing that we always talk about. Our recruitment's been so-so, our drafting so-so. You know, we talked about Ross Lyon, is he, you know, what's going on with him back in the day, you know, but our injuries as well, man. Like, we don't have key players out on the park, and it's a massive problem. And we can't afford to lose anyone at this current time. You know, we don't have the depth. Like, you look at that back of that side in 05, they could lose a couple of players. Couple of blokes could come in, you know, that they've got depth. Whereas this team, our depth is lacking big time, especially in key position players, you know, especially that. So, you know, what do you do, Oz? Anyway, Oz, do you want to do the music quiz as a bit of a change up?
Yeah,
mate,
look, we'll mix it up and get a little bit excited about this one. Get your pen out, mate.
Yeah, I'm getting my pen out.
Here
in
we
the
go.
End, mate, sorry, the end thesis of that is that Chris Connolly wasn't a good coach. I don't know. I'm going with that.
All right, here we go. This is the 2005 Triple J Hottest 100, starting with this. Number 10. Number 9.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Zach Clark.
Ah, Festival Central. Number 8. Actually saw these guys live, shout out Murph, in a pub in Queensland. Rizzy. Number 7. I'm thinking about my doorbell. When you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? Number 6. You're only getting 15 seconds of this intro, mate. It's classic. Number 5. It's there. Up to number 4.
These are bangers, mate.
Yeah, mate, these are bangers. Now, controversially, this next one that's coming up is number 3, obviously. In my opinion, should have been number 1.
Ooh, looking forward to it, Oz. Oh. I used to listen to this a lot on my mate's iPod. Shout out to you, Chucky. Just listen to it.
Number two. How can this beat number three? But anyway. And number one, the love affair with this bloke keeps going.
Oh.
Up so early, feel so bright. I didn't get much sleep last night. Freight train rattled through my head.
All right, Duck.
All right, you want answers or you want to go to break?
I'm
going to
tell you. No, let's just keep going. Keep rolling.
Let me guess.
Go.
All right. Number 10 was Franz Ferdinand.
Yes, do you want to?
Yeah, do you want to?
Mm-hmm.
Number 9 was Wolfmother.
Correct.
I don't know which one it was.
Joker and the Thief.
Joker and the Thief, yep. I'd say. Number 8, No Clue.
Oh, yeah, End of Fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Number 7, White Stripes.
Correct.
Doorbell.
My Doorbell, yep.
Number 6, Wolfmother.
Mind's Eye.
Mind's Eye.
Close to Brown Eye.
Number 6, Gorillaz, Dare.
Yes, correct.
Oh, number 5, sorry.
Yep.
Number 4, Franz Ferdinand.
No.
Foo Fighters.
Yes,
the best.
Correct.
Sorry, I put
Best
FF.
Of You, yep. Yep.
Number 3, Gorillaz, Feel Good.
Yep.
Number 2, Ben Lee.
Yep.
Is it called Like It, that song?
No, it's called Catch My Disease.
Ah, Catch My Disease. Ugh. Topical.
Don't know if you'd be saying that right now.
Topical, Oz. And Bernard Fanning, Wish You Well.
Wish You Well, just like those Fuso trucks.
Oh, very nice.
Shout out, Wags. How you going there, mate?
Anyway, guys, on that note, thanks for listening. And next week, we're going to do Siren Gate.
Oh, enjoyable.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We'll see how it goes. Unbelievable.
Love yous all.
Love yous all, guys. Yeah.